I am so excited to be here once again. Michael Watson, Missions Director for Tash Ministries International.
That's right.
Michael Ott. We are here. We're ready to take another missions trip. Glory to God.
Come on.
Ooh, this is tape number 4.
Yes.
We're on a roll.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, we've
and
got
And by
a lot.
This time, Miss Becky, they should have almost everything completed and done in their manual. They should have applied for everything that they need to apply for. It should have gotten back in the mail. Permission slips. All that should be done by now, Miss Becky.
The money needs to be in.
Oh, pay it in full. Gone.
Yes.
If not, you better get out there and hustle.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. We've got to get those tickets purchased.
And if you're struggling, we're praying and believing with you, but we've got deadlines that we've got to hit.
That's right. So we're moving right along. We've got a very important thing we need to touch on today, and that is the concept of when we're out there, we have got to be a team.
That's right, Miss Becky. This is a very exciting topic to discuss, Miss Becky. The other ones are all fundamental. The other ones are all this. This is nitty gritty. This is dirty. This is where the rubber meets the road. But this is such an exciting one to think that God is building a team, a missions team, to go into whatever country you've signed up to go on. This mission team is going to be going, and God is building this from boys and girls, moms and dads, teachers, pastors, evangelists from all over the United States.
Mm.
The team we took to Mexico last year had 45 people in it from 7 different churches, 10 different states.
Oh my goodness.
That's the kind of teams I'm talking about, and
wow.
That excites me because then we hear the word orchestrate. See, God, you have been preparing, and God is orchestrating a team to go into the country that God has called you to go, whether you're coming from one person in your little home, whether you're a family that's going on a family vacation, or your church has got 10 or 15 boys and girls and adults that are ready to go. God is orchestrating a team that is going to be built to take the gospel.
That's very interesting that you say that, because every one of the team members that is coming because they believe they have heard God say, you need to go on this trip. You need to be going to Guatemala. You need to be going to Puerto Rico. You need to be going to South Africa. They have specifically heard from God. That means God is handpicking a group of people to work together.
That's right. And if we didn't mention the country you're going to, that's okay. God has picked you, because we can't mention all of them.
Yes, that's right.
Well, praise God. You know, I tell you, when you think of teamwork, Miss Becky, and Tash Ministries International, just to give you a basis of how long some of us have been together on the team of Tash Ministries International, I've been working with John and Shirley Tash since 1989. Pastor Michael over here has been working with him since 1987. So we have built a team, Tash Ministries International, that is going to take your team to places you've never been before, to fulfill the dreams God has given you. God is building a team with the expertise that we have that is going to go out and do. Now, what's so exciting about teamwork, Miss Becky, and leading a team is I like to take the word team, T-E-A-M, and break it down into this. Team means together, T, together, E, everyone, A, achieves, M, more. T-E-A-M, team, together, everyone achieves more.
That's excellent.
Team, I like to take the definition of a team, Miss Becky, and look at it as two or more people with the same vision going in the same direction.
Mm.
What we're building for this mission trip is there are two or more people, whether you're in Pascagoula or you're in Minneapolis, there are two or more people that are having the same vision to go to the country God has called you and to minister with the same vision.
You know, Michael, even Jesus had a team. I mean, think about it. You look in the New Testament, and what do you see? He had a team of 12 surrounded him. You see, Jesus realized that he couldn't do all that needed to be done by himself. He had to create a team. Furthermore, he created that team to continue to go on when he knew he was going to go back to his heavenly Father.
That's
and
right.
So he had to create a team. He had to multiply himself in other people that would take what he's doing and continue doing it. So Jesus had a team to do what he was doing.
And that's a very good point, too, because we are a team coming together for a specific cause right now. But the whole point of our ministry is training you to continue on doing what we train you to do on this trip. We may never go on another trip together again.
That's right.
But what we impart to you, what we teach you on this, you know, this is very, very important. So when you come on this trip, you need to consider that the experience that we have on the mission field or the experience that we have in ministry, God has anointed us and called us to train you to do, not necessarily take teams out like what we're doing, but to train you for ministry.
Exactly.
And so it becomes very important that we operate as a team and that you look to us with confidence and that you don't look on us with, I've got as much experience or years in ministry as you. I know what you know and all this kind of. You need to come in and consider, no, I'm going to submit myself to this. To these leaders God has placed here because they've got something to teach me. Just like the disciples had to submit themselves to Jesus, and, mm-hmm. and we may be jumping ahead here a little bit, but just like they had to submit themselves to Jesus, we're looking for a team that will come and say, okay, I'm going to consider this, yes. that I'm being trained for the future.
Exactly, Miss Becky. And that, when you look at a team concept, that is what it all is. Together, everyone achieves more. You may have been in ministry longer than I have been in ministry, but we've taken as a ministry hundreds of boys and girls in teams on the mission field, and we kind of know what works and what doesn't work. Maybe you can tell me something that works in ministry that I don't know at this point. But that's part of God is building this team of people together. Now, you may be thinking, why are they talking on team? You may be sitting by yourself listening to this tape or listening to it with mom and dad. How am I going to fit in to this team? You may be a family thinking, where am I going? Where is my place in this team? Well, first off, I want you to look at a team is going to consist of several different departments our team will consist of. We're going to have a puppet department, a mm-hmm. drama yep. department, a food preparation department, a cleanup department, a helps department. And we're going to give everybody job descriptions. We're going to assign you to a different department. And all of that is going to work together on our team to make this trip run smoothly and successfully.
You know, Mike, this trip here that we're about to take is not about you coming on so that you can shine and we can all watch you. Nor is it you can come a part of this and think you're going to stand back in the shadows and let everyone do the work. You see, we're building the team. And whether you have special gifts and abilities that are very noticeable, or you tend to want to hang back in the crowd and not be seen, that's not going to work. Everyone's going to come together. We're on the same plane, working together, the same playing field, okay?
That's right.
All putting our skills together, helping one another do what we need to do.
Everything that we do has to be for the betterment of the team.
That's right.
We're going to have to do some sacrificing. We're going to have to do some things we don't like to do. We're going to have to let other people get positions that we would really like to have ourselves.
That's right.
Maybe in drama or puppetry or singing a solo or whatever that maybe we feel better qualified. And wow, the leader has someone else put them in.
Oh, boy.
You know, now we have to submit to that leadership for the better of the team.
That's right. That's called sacrificing for the team. I mean, there are somebody that, even in baseball, they call it a sacrifice play or a sacrifice bunt where somebody's on base and you think, man, I can clobber this ball. Coach knows I can hit this ball further than anybody else on the team.
Or I'm about ready to break the home run record.
Yeah.
But my coach is asking me to bunt.
To bunt. You may have to sacrifice yourself in a situation like that for the betterment of the team. We're not going to do everything that we do exactly the way you think it should be done. Sorry, if that was your idea going on this mission trip, sorry, change your thinking, start all over again.
You're going to be disappointed.
You're going to be disappointed. But there's going to be times when I, or a team leader, will ask you, Miss Becky, ask that person to do something they don't want to do.
That's right. Ministry is not about us, is it?
No.
Remember the time we dropped that can of silly string down in the...
The long drop?
The long drop there in Mexico?
What?
Yes, we did. And we had to fish out a can of silly string because we needed it for that service.
No way! Are you serious?
And no one wanted to do it. We have to explain what we're talking about, though. It was a... It was an outdoor bathroom.
It was a baño. It was a hole in the ground, and we had dropped a can of silly string, and we had to go fish it out. Oh, by accident. We didn't throw it in there on purpose.
Oh, no.
So
and you had to have it.
We had to sacrifice for the team.
I think you did, though.
I did, yeah.
Oh, no.
So you went in there with a real long stick with duct tape on the end and had to fish that puppy out. But then, you know, some people would say, I don't want to do that. You know, now, boys and girls, I know what it's like. I use a kid. You know, the dog throws up at home. And I know what you do. You walk past it and you say, I didn't see it. And you hope that your sister gets to see it, so she has to clean it up. Well, forget that kind of thinking. You may That's be right. asked to do something that you don't want to do.
It's not may.
But it's for
they
the
will
team.
Be. Oh, they will be. Goodness. They will be. The reason, and there's certain ways that we do, there's certain reasons why we do things, Miss Becky. And Pastor Michael, we've taken many trips, hundreds of children, and there's certain ways that we do things. I had one person come up to me one time and says, I think you're being too hard. This was an adult. I think you're being too hard on the children.
I've heard that too.
And it's not and because we were making them get up. We had prayer. We had work. We had to clean up. We had to do this. And it was hot. It was hot weather. We were being hot, but we weren't being too hard. We've taken teams. We know, believe me, we will work the schedule to accommodate children. That's our first and foremost importance.
They'll be getting enough sleep. We're looking
right.
out for their health.
Their food that we eat.
Yep.
But we will also work hard, play hard, and pray hard. So there's going to be times when everything isn't going to go your way. And we've taken many teams, and there's certain reasons why we do what we do. So that's part of being a team.
There were teams throughout the whole Bible. Michael mentioned a while ago that Jesus had a team. He had his disciples. But throughout the scriptures, we see where teams were extremely important in building the kingdom of God or just doing a project. What comes to my mind is Moses. I like to think about Moses. He sat around in this temple with this cloud who gave him words, you know, and visions and all. And he came out with this concept for a tabernacle. Well, of course, we know that was God. That's not to belittle that meeting in the tent. But the point was when he left that tent, Moses never lifted a finger to build right. that tabernacle. There was a man who arose by the name of Bezalel, and Bezalel caught hold of that vision, and he went out, and he was a great craftsman and a great artisan, and he went about the job of rounding up the Israelites to build this temple that their leader, Moses, said he got from God. And the Bible says repeatedly in the book of Exodus that those that had a willing heart and a mind to work,
there you go,
pitched in and helped Bezalel. Everything from spinning goat's hair to making pottery to melting gold to building the cabinets and the different furniture. I mean, to weaving the things. The people who were of a willing heart and had a mind to work. You know, we call this ministry, but it's work.
It's work.
That's why they call it the work of the ministry.
That's right, Ms.
You
Becky.
Know, and so we must be a team. Throughout the Bible, we see teams working together.
Nehemiah built the wall.
Yes.
Built the wall. There were people. He assembled a team of people. And it says that they had their trumpet in one hand and their working instrument in the other hand. Or they had an arrow in one hand and their working instrument in the other hand. We are going to work together as a team. There are many, many, many teams in the Bible. I want to go to one scripture, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, because I like this scripture. It says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. See, there is a whole body out there, just as the body of Christ, and our team is going to come together by every joint that fitly supplieth. Every joint supply us. The ministry dramas, the puppets, whether you're a 6 or an 8-year-old or you're a 78-year-old, every joint is going to supply on this mission trip.
One of the things that comes to my mind when we're thinking of teamwork and as we reflect on Nehemiah, Moses, Jesus, those people had to have total confidence in their leaders. When you come on this trip, you're going to have to make up your mind in advance that you're going to place your confidence in us. And the decisions that we make as your leaders, you're going to have to submit to those things. You're going to have to believe that we are doing things for the betterment of the team or because of the people that we're ministering to, and not because we're playing favorites with people, not because we're trying to be mean to other people, or, you know, that we have pets, that we're giving all the fun stuff to certain people. You're going to have confidence in our leadership.
Becky, that's right. A team must have four things. Number one, it must have communication. And the communication's got to go both ways. We are going to be constantly communicating to you what we need done for the day, for the week, for that service, for that particular time. It will be communicated. And you've got to communicate back to us the things that you need. I can't do this because you haven't bought. I can't fix the lunches because we haven't got bread right now. So you got to let us know that you don't have bread. You can't fix the lunches right now. Number two, a team must have cooperation amongst each other. We've got to learn to cooperate. I like to look at it as the palm trees bend and sway in the wind. We can't stay stiff and rigid. We're going to have to bend and sway like the palm trees in the wind, because it doesn't always go the way we planned it, the way we wrote it down, especially on the mission field, you're going to have to cooperate together. Number three, you must submit to authority. If you don't have submission to authority, we've lost all the groundwork and the foundation. Number four, you must have a team player attitude. Have an attitude that says, I'm going to do what's best for the team. It may not be exactly what I like, but I'm going to do what's best for the team.
You know, Mike, at this point, it might be a good point to add that we want to guard against strife.
Yes.
You know, if we're not going to cooperate, if we're not going to submit to authority and things of this nature, it's going to open up the door to the enemy to bring strife in. You see, the enemy knows what we're up to. He knows we're about building the kingdom of God. And he's going to try to find a way to get in there to stop what we're doing because he doesn't like what we're doing. And so we've got to close, slam, nail shut, paint over, put a brick wall over any door to the enemy and not allow strife to come in. You see, the enemy knows where there is unity, there is tremendous power. You know, I think in the book of Acts, when they were all together in one accord, they were in one accord. They were in unity. They were all had the same mind at that moment, striving for the same thing at that moment, working together. And the power of God was unleashed in that room when the Holy Spirit came. Unity is a very important thing. You don't hear a lot about it, but our team, one of the keys to having God's power released, his anointing, and great things taking place is unity among the brethren. And as long as we remain unified, working together, and protecting that unity, and not allowing strife and division we can accomplish great things in the kingdom of God.
I heard some very interesting stories from a couple veteran missionaries that I hold in high esteem. Both of them have been on the mission fields, one as long as 12, 15 years, the other one over 20 years. They were in the habit of taking people with them as teams over on the mission field. One would go in and have Bible schools in the bush countries, in the Asian countries and all. Another one has traveled all over the world taking in teams to establish children's ministries and youth ministries. And it was interesting, both of them at separate times told me stories where when they went over on the mission field, one was over the issue of food, the other one, I don't remember what the issue was over, but people on their team refused to do what the leaders told them to do. Mm. And in both cases, they said it was one of the hardest trips that they'd ever had, and that the leaders, as well as those people, came down with illnesses and sicknesses on those trips where there was strife, where they said normally, the one missionary, he's just a fun guy to listen to, all the stories, the bizarre things that he does on the mission field, and he said, I never get sick. He had to eat something horrible, okay? And he says, I never get sick. I've had the grace of God to eat those things on the field. But we stood there. It was in the Philippines, and they had to eat something that was a delicacy the people had really spent a lot of money on, and it would have been very offensive to them if they would not have eaten that. He insisted that the person on his team eat it, and the guy openly rebelled in front of him. He finally demanded that the guy eat it. They did eat it, and they both got sick. You know, and he says, I've eaten those things before. He says, I've never gotten sick before or since. But on that team where there was strife, illness came in and, you know, opened the foothold to the enemy.
One of the things that brings strife on, Miss Becky, is disobedience.
Yes.
You know, I have children, young children, and maybe many of you listen to this tape. You are a child or you have children. I tell my children that slow obedience is no obedience, Miss Becky. And there are going to be times when we are going to have to obey, even though we may not want to. You know, the weather may be hot, you may be tired, you may want a Coke whenever nobody else is getting a Coke, and we've said no Cokes right now, we're all going to go get a Coke later, and you go off and get a Coke. And that opens the door to strife, rebellion, and it opens the door for the devil to attack. When you don't obey, you take yourself and the risk of the team out from under the umbrella of God's protection.
Michael, tell us that story. I think it was in Mexico where you were riding on a bus. You had a busload of kids on your team, and you came into an area where there was, I don't know, some
That's right,
rebels.
Becky. We were actually in a doing services in the dump area of Juarez, Mexico.
Okay.
And we had about 45, two busloads of people. So it was more than 45. There's about 60 people on that trip. We were going into the dump area. We had just got through doing a service, passing out candy and tracts, and this was notoriously not the best neighborhood to be in. And we were all loaded up on the bus. We were getting ready to pull out, and I saw some younger boys milling around the area of the buses, and I could just tell by the Spirit of God that something was up. I quietly, not to alarm everybody on our bus, I quietly stood up and I said, I need all the boys and girls to put their head down, their head between their legs and their hands over their heads for protection. Because in the spirit, I felt that something was going to happen, like a rock was going to get thrown at our bus. And nobody really moved. They didn't listen. So I hollered the second time, I want everybody to put their heads down and their hands over their heads now. And what it was is their little bit of lack of disobedience could have caused, if a rock would have come through the window, which one did later, but was on our bus after we weren't around, somebody could have been injured very badly. So it is very important to listen, to obey, and to be a team person on the mission field.
Absolutely. You know, if there's one thing that I have learned, on the mission field, you got to learn to go with the flow. Things change instantly. I had an experience when I was planning to go into Russia. I spent months in advance preparing and communicating with the missionaries, and the missionary kept telling me, I'm doing my best to work it on this end, but you just need to go with the flow. I'm doing my best, but you need to go with the flow. And she kept repeating that over and over again, and I had really no concept of what she was talking about. When I got over there, it was like they didn't even know I was coming. You know, nothing that we had asked for had been done. It was just, I mean, when they say go with the flow, they mean it. We can have this thing as lined out, and for the most part, we're going to be working with American missionaries over there who know how we think and how we act and what we need. But they cannot always control what goes on with those nationals. Things happen on the mission field. So you're just going to have to trust us.
That's right. You're going to have to trust us. We've got to trust them. And we're going to make the best of every situation that we come into. But that will happen as we work together as a team. Becky, a good thing about a team is we've got to work together. I like to look at the illustration of the geese when you're on a team. Geese can help us so much learn about how a team is supposed to function, how a team is supposed to act, how a team is supposed to work together. Let's take, for instance, have you ever noticed that geese always fly in a V formation?
Mm-hmm.
They always fly in a V formation. Do you know there's a reason why geese fly in a V formation?
Because they can't make a Q.
You're right. Oh. They can't make a Q, so they got to make a V. No, they fly in a V formation for, there is a scientific reason. The V formation helps the birds cut through the air, and they draft off of each other. The first bird is doing the majority of the work for everybody else. The next birds that are adjacent behind on either the left or the right are actually flying off the lift of the bird in front of them, so their flight path is easier than the bird in front of them. And as the line goes down, the easier it gets to fly. That's how the geese can travel many thousands of distance miles to migrate, and they continue to fly sometimes nonstop or for long periods of time because it's the ease of flying. And as that first bird that is cutting through the atmosphere and leading the way, as he begins to get tired, he will drop out, he will drift back into the back of the pack and fly where it's a little bit easier, and somebody else will take the reins for a little while, cutting through the hardest part of the flight.
Interesting. They're working together as a team.
They're working together as a team. Another thing that a goose does is, as they're flying, you always hear geese honking.
Yeah.
Honk, 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 honk.
It must be crowded up there.
No, it's not crowded.
It's rush hour traffic.
That honking is encouragement to the birds that are in front of them.
Really?
So like, get out of my way?
No, not get out of my way. It's encouragement such as, you're doing a good job. Keep up the good work.
Wow.
You know, we've lost that. Even in our Christian realms, sometimes that you lose the encouragement, the pat on the backs. We might not always give you pats on the back on the mission field, but I want you to know I'm giving you an encouragement word right now. You're going to do it.
Amen.
You've got what it takes. We're going to get through it. You may be tired. You may be hot. You may be sweaty. You may have just done a drama and you rolled in the dusty dirt and you have mud all over you because it's stuck to your sweat. But by golly molly, we're going for it.
Yes.
There's going to be somebody get saved. You're going to pray for somebody and see somebody healed. God's going to use you. So we geese honk for each other, and I want us to encourage and honk for each other. honk, 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 honk. There you go. Keep it up. Come on. I can hear you right now honking for me. Here's another thing that is a team thing. If in geese, if one bird, one goose gets hurt, one or two other birds will go down and nurse that goose back to health.
Really?
Then fly with it to catch up with the rest of its team.
Oh, wow.
When they're migrating. Now, this is something that I've actually read. The first thing I thought, no way. Yes, they do. Geese take care of their wounded, and we will take care of our wounded. If somebody's hurting, we're going to pray for you. We're going to nurse you back to health, and we're going to tell you to get right back out there and do that drama again, because we're going to do it at the next service. But we will encourage you, and then you'll catch up. So we can learn a lot from the geese of how we're going to work together as a team. We're going to encourage each other. We're going to fly in formation. That's the submission to authority. Mm-hmm. We're going to fly in this formation. We're going to encourage each other. We're going to take care of our wounded. We're going to have a team player attitude for the best of the team. And we're going to take the lead when other people can rest. You know, my voice, if I'm leading the trip or whoever the team leaders, our voices might get tired from preaching and ministering. We can't be hollering all the time. So somebody else may take the reins for a while and direct the team or holler out the directions that need to be hollered out. And so other leaders can rest their voice for ministry time.
And that's a good point too, Pastor Michael, because even though you're out there, let's say you're leading this team, you're out there in front, but you've got other people under you that you have placed in positions of authority.
Exactly.
So when these boys and girls come on or the other adults come on, they need to give those people the same amount of respect as they would give if you were the one giving the orders.
That's right. That's what that chain of command we went over in our very first tape. The chain of command that we have is if I'm leading the trip or Pastor John or whoever's leading the trip gives directions to the head male or female counselor or to the team leaders and the different things like that, they are speaking for the same authority as the main man. So we got to listen and we got to obey during that in that same way. That's the team. That's the way the team is going to flow together in submission and authority. When you were talking about Moses and building of the tabernacle, I look at another thing Moses did. You know, when the millions of people were led out of bondage in Egypt, one man's faith led millions of people out of bondage in Egypt, but one man's faith could not bring them into the promised land. It took a corporate faith, a corporate anointing, a team that went into the promised land. Now, we're not going to wander around in the wilderness for 40 years. This team's not going to wander around in the wilderness. We're going to hit the mission field as a team, and we're going to bring millions into their promised land.
Amen.
Wherever they're at, wherever we're ministering to them at. So that's what's exciting about a team. Team ministry is not me, 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 me. It's not I. It's we and us. Amen?
Amen.
It's
Amen.
We and us. And we're not going to do our own things. We're going to minister as a team.
Another thing that I think of, too, that people don't really understand, if they've never been on the mission field before, we are not going over there to be the stars. We have this idea, oh, we're going to get to go over there and we're going to perform drama and we're going to do all this stuff and we're going to be the center of attention. Well, in one way we are, because we're the ones that are going over there and stirring up the good stuff. But this isn't about us. Everything that we're doing over there is not for our benefit. It's for the benefit of those people who need to hear the gospel. And so it's a whole different concept. When we go over there, we've got to have our minds not on ourselves. We've got to have our minds on the people and what's going to be the best for them. And working as a team, submitting to leadership, putting our own needs and desires aside, and concentrated on the needs of those we minister to.
Right.
So there's more even to being a team than just what's going on with us as our own specific group. The reason we are a group is because of what the needs of the people that we're going to be reaching.
Amen. There's a word that I heard and I learned about and I'm still learning about. It's called synergy or synergism. And synergism is when you get a group of energy that's balled together, going in the same direction with the same force, it's going to be many times multiplied over. And that's called synergy or synergism. Mm. And as our team has been studying, we've been praying, we've been reading through the Bible, we've been memorizing our scriptures, we're going to minister in drama, puppets, then we are going to see combined energy multiplied. This isn't a one-man shot. Why does Tash Ministries take a team to Mexico or Guatemala or South Africa, because if one of us went all by ourselves, we could only do enough work for one person. Mm-hmm. But when we take a team of 15 to 30 to 60, then that ministry is then multiplied. We can 60 people are laying hands on somebody, not just one person laying hands on somebody.
Yes.
60 people are doing the work of the ministry, not just one person doing the work of the ministry.
Yes.
To wrap all this up, Becky, God is putting together a team to take the gospel to the lost in whatever country he's called you to go to.
Yes.
And he's preparing every one of us to go and to minister. We need to remember, just to recap, to remember to communicate. Team members will communicate, and in order for communication to happen, then listening has to happen. There's got to be communication and listening. Number two, we need to cooperate together.
Yes.
One to another. Be thinking about the other person. Cooperate with our brothers and sisters. Number three, we need to submit to the authority that is set above us, whether it's your immediate counselor, the team leader, the head male or female counselor, but to submit to that authority so we do not get up from under the umbrella of God's protection. Number four, we must have a team player attitude. Work out what's best for the team. Maybe not always what's best for you.
Yes.
So this is an exciting tape, and I want to end this on a very high note because I want everybody to realize we're a team that's going to go win the Super Bowl.
Amen.
We're a team that's going to win the World Series. We're a team that's going to win the World Cup. Whatever sport you're interested in. We're our team, a mission team that God is building, that is going to win the lost, that is going to defeat the devil, that is going to do mighty exploits, boys and girls. You're on a winning team.
Amen.
I like the Nike saying, just do it. You know what? We're going to just do it.
Yes.
Whatever it takes to be that team player, to be on that team, we're going to just do it.
See you out in the playing field.
Amen.
Time has come for me to answer.